here, of course, for Matt and Adriana's send-off not too long ago. And then Brother Robbie has been here and preached several times over the time of our church here, and we're excited to have them back. We mentioned to you that Brother Robbie preached at the team camp down at Camp Victory a week ago when we were down there, and we had a great week there, and a lot of wonderful things happened. And I got to sit down and fellowship a little bit with him and Carol, and one of his sons was there, and his daughter came up from Tennessee, and so it was good to see all of them. We wanted to get him back. Yeah, somebody's calling now. I want to ride to church. Actually, it's probably somebody. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I know what it is. Somebody calling wanting something. Yeah, we're down here at the hotel, and we got kicked out of our house and can't pay our electric bill. Could you help us out, please? They always seem to call when you're in church on Sunday morning because they don't go to church. So we'll see if that's how it works out. Anyways, Roy probably gave him money, so everything's fine now. All right, Brother Morrison, you come ahead, sir. He's going to teach our Sunday school class this morning. I'll let you
hook that thing up. You know more about it than I do, Paul.
Go ahead. Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be saved this morning, amen? I don't know if the kids told you any stories about camp, but they are not true. Amen. We'll have to turn this thing on, brothers. It'll... Oh, he's back there. Okay. It says on. Is it on? Oh, it is. Okay. Well, we had a grand time at camp, and I enjoyed that, and being at camp with young people. It tries to keep you young, amen? It didn't work for me, but it tries, amen? I tell my wife, though, I said, we're going to have to schedule this better next year so that when we have a week at camp like that, then we got a week off to recuperate, amen? Take your Bibles and find, if you would, the book of Romans, chapter number 12. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. What time we need to be done, preacher? 10:30. Well, I'm in good shape then. We appreciate the opportunity to be back with you. The family's all grown and left me. Amen. Somebody say amen. somebody said the other day, said, I wonder what the key to success is. I said, what? He said, all your kids have grown and left you. Amen. I can't get mine to get out of the house. I didn't know that was the key to success. I think I'd have kept them a little longer if I could have, amen. But they've grown. They're all married now. We have three grandchildren. The fourth one on the way. And I've enjoyed these grandkids, amen. I've determined that bumper sticker I saw was right, that the grandkids is your reward for not killing your kids, amen. And come on, say amen. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy this morning. But we're excited about what the Lord's doing in our life. And we leave 2 weeks from tomorrow, headed to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. We're not going on vacation, amen. And we're going down to see a missionary down there and be about 10 days of work. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that tonight and what the Lord's doing. We've got a video we want to show you tonight about the ministry with the military chaplains the Lord has given us, which has just been a very unusual thing the Lord has done there. And so you come back tonight and we'll show that to you. Look in Romans chapter 12. I want to read verse number 3, and then we want to look at several passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Notice what the Bible said. He said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now watch this phrase. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now there's two or three things in that verse that are very interesting to me. You know, I know some folks who haven't really figured this verse out. He said, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Hey, folks, you know, sometimes we get a pretty good thinking about ourselves, a pretty good impression of ourselves, and we ought to realize there's nothing in us worth anything. Amen. And he said, we ought to be careful. We don't think more of ourselves than we ought to think. Because if God didn't do something in our life, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. But notice then what he says, but to think soberly. He said, stop and think soberly, seriously about something. And then he makes this statement. I want you to see this phrase. God had dealt to every man, underline this phrase, the measure of faith. I love this Bible. It's perfect, and God made no mistakes in the way he said it. Amen. He didn't say, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Because if he'd have said that, then he could have given Brother Leafley a measure of faith the size of this building and given to me a measure of faith the size of this pulpit and been just in doing it. But he didn't say that. He said God has dealt to every man deep. What that means? That means there's only one. It's all the same. It's equal. There's not a measure of faith for a preacher and a measure of faith for a Christian sitting on a pew, a measure of faith for a missionary on a foreign field, or a measure of faith for a teenager just growing up. He said, no, it's all the same, the measure of faith. Now, my question for that, and it begins to make my mind go to a few things. If God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let me show you something, what Paul said about it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want to talk to you about this thing of faith. The Bible says when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and I believe he's about ready to come back, amen. He said when he comes back, will he find what on this earth? Faith. He said, I'm not going to come back looking for huge buildings and huge ministries. I'm going to come back looking for faith. Because faith is the one thing that he has dealt to every man that has bowed on their knee and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart, amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we heard the word of God, understood it, and we got saved, God dealt to every person that saved the measure of faith. Amen? Y'all with me? Say amen. Because this gets to be fun in just a minute. And so when he comes back, he's going to be looking to us for faith. Because faith is the one thing all of us have equally. You know, some people have got more talent than others. I've always been envious of fellows like Pastor Leafley that can sing and preach, amen? Because I can't sing and preach. They pay me not to sing, amen? And folks that play a piano and have all these talents, God has blessed them, and some of us can't play a radio without getting static, amen? I mean, we don't have that talent, but God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. And notice what Paul said about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. When he says in verse number 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But notice this next verse. He said, but we will not boast of things, what? Without our measure. Paul said, I'm not boasting of things without my measure or beyond my measure. And notice what he begins to say. He said, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope. When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Notice what Paul just said there. He said, I've come as far as you. He's writing to the church at Corinth, right? And he's saying to these Corinthians, he said, look, I've not went beyond my measure of faith to come as far as you in preaching the gospel. You just go back and think what Paul just said. He said, I got saved on the road to Damascus. He said, and my life changed. And he said, and I spent some time in Tarsus. And you get to Acts chapter number 11, and Barnabas went down to Tarsus, got him in Acts chapter 11, brought him up to Antioch. The Bible said he spent a year in Antioch with the people there, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. And then you come to Acts 13, and the Bible says the church laid hands on him and Saul and sent them out, or Barnabas and him, and sent them out to preach the gospel as missionaries. They went through all that region of the world preaching the gospel, and he said to the church at Corinth, now writing to them, he said, I didn't even get beyond my measure. He said, I've not even exhausted that. I've not went beyond that measure of faith to get as far as you in preaching the gospel. Now, what I begin to think in my mind, what begins to work in my heart is, Paul's trying to tell us something. He said, I accomplished all this that the Lord allowed me to accomplish in my life, and I didn't even go beyond the measure of faith that God gave me. Now, if he accomplished all that in his measure of faith, what am I doing in mine? And I travel around this country and around the world. If there's something that I see in my life, and my wife probably thinks it's a broken record. I talk about this all the time. If there's anything we're lacking in this day and age in the average, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church is faith. You know, I meet people all the time. They're wringing their hands. They say, well, gasoline's $4 a gallon. Hey, folks, it's $6.15 in Kenya. Aren't you glad you live here, not Kenya? I don't know what it is in Congo. I haven't asked Brother Matt what it is in the Congo, but I imagine it's probably that or thereabouts because of the it's about the same in all the African nations. And we sit around, we're wringing our hands, and we're saying, well, what are we going to do? Well, did God die? Amen? And what we're saying is, I don't have enough faith that God can still provide for me today when gasoline is $4 a gallon like he did 5 years ago when it was $2 a gallon. And what we're saying is our faith is not strong enough, but God said, hey, I gave you the same faith I gave the missionary that's serving on the other side of the world and trusting God to take care of him at $6 a gallon. I gave you the same faith as anybody else that's been saved in this world that accomplished great things for God. What's the problem? The problem's us in our faith in God. I look at these young people, and I appreciate you letting them stay up this morning. Young people, if you get a hold of anything, just understand something, that God is not a respecter of persons today, amen? And God issued you the same measure of faith that he gave to Adoniram Judson, or he gave to Hudson Taylor, or that he gave to any other great Christian we want to think about in our life. God gave you the same measure of faith, and you can accomplish great things for God if you just take that measure of faith and make it do something, amen? You ever notice, and I'll challenge you to go home and read your Bible, every time that you see the Lord and the disciples are in a ship, amen, they're usually in a storm, amen. And go home and read those. I believe there's about six accounts of them in a storm, in a ship, and every time the Lord comes by and calms the winds and cures the problem, and the very next thing he says to them is this, oh, ye of little faith. You know what I think what he's trying to say to us, that sometimes the storms come to our life to get us to exercise our faith in God, that God will take care of us, amen. And he's trying to prove our faith and increase our faith and make that measure of faith work for us. Because that measure of faith worked for Paul, that measure of faith worked for every New Testament Christian that's ever come to this point in their life. And we look back and we think, how did they accomplish great things for God? They must have had an extraordinary measure of faith. No, they got the same faith you got. It's what they did with that faith that was different. Now take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 13. The Lord began to burden my heart about this thing. I just want to show you this morning. I may get stuck, amen. Matthew chapter 13, you know the story. He begins to put these together. Matthew 13, he begins to talk about him, and he says in verse number 31, he said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, is the greatest among herbs, and becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You say, well, preacher, what's that mean to me? Go to chapter 17. In chapter 17, he ties it together because he says this in chapter 17 in verse number 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be, and it shall remove, and nothing. We ought to underline that and learn that phrase in our Bible. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. What? He said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. Now, wait a minute. He just said he gave us that faith. Amen? So if he said we just had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, is he saying that we don't have the measure of faith? No, he said you have that measure of faith. I believe what he's trying to say is that we have to have the ability in that faith to trust God. He said, we would just trust God a little bit. We could accomplish great things. I mean, he said that mustard seed in comparison to every other seed is the least of all. But notice what he said. But he said, when it is sown and it is grown. See, we got to take that measure of faith and begin to trust God with it and begin to work with it with God. Amen. And we got to take that grain of mustard, and I'll share this in just a minute. We got to take that faith, that grain of a mustard seed faith, and we've got to sow it. We've got to make it grow. But how do we make it grow? Go to Mark chapter 4. Go to Mark chapter 4. Notice what he said. He talks about this grain of mustard seed again. And I love that phrase. He said, we just learn to make our faith grow. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. And he says in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now watch what he says. And he said, whereunto shall you liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You understand what he just said? Now, I grew up on a farm. I understand a little bit about this. You take that seed and you sow it in the ground. You've got to take that seed and you've got to put it in the ground, cover it up, and leave it alone. You've got to take your hands off of it. Amen? You can't plant that seed, that corn, and go out there tomorrow and dig it up and say, well, let's see if it's growing. No, you've got to leave it in the ground. You've got to put it in a situation where you take your hands off of it and you allow somebody and something greater than you to take control of it. Amen? And I don't understand. I'm not in that detail to understand how you take that grain of corn and you put it in the ground and you cover it up with the earth and it grows. I don't understand how it germinates. I don't understand how that works. I know not how. Amen? I just know it does. Hello? You know what God, you know what he's saying? He said your faith is like that grain of a mustard seed. You've got to take your faith sometime in your life and you've got to put it in a place where there's somebody greater than you in control of it. Amen? And that's God. Amen? And you don't know how it's all going to work out some days. Amen? But it just does. And notice how the progression goes. And this is where I think we get messed up. We watch too much TV. He said, what happens is when you sow that seed, then there's a little blade, a little shoot that comes up through the ground. And you know something's going on in there, amen? And then it grows into a stalk and into a full stalk of a corn stalk. And then there's ears on that stalk. And all of a sudden you're eating corn on the cob and butter's running off your elbows, amen? And you're having a good time, man. See, it doesn't all come in one instant. That's what he said. It grows. I'm looking at these young people. See, God does not expect you to have faith to go off to Bible college right now. But he expects you to have faith to trust him now to take care of your needs as a teenager. Then you're going to have to grow. And there'll come a day when you graduate and you go off to Bible college, you go off to get a job, you get married, and God's got to let your faith grow. Amen? I mean, you don't have needs right now of having a car and a job and a house. Amen? You just like to have candy and go to McDonald's. Amen? You've been eating candy. You've got braces, man. Sitting set on the front row. Amen. But you're trusting God to take care of that today, and that's big to you today. But in comparison, it's small. Hello? I'll never forget Alan. He was probably 14 or 15 when he learned to play guitar. And he said, you know, Dad, I'd like to learn to play guitar. And I've raised enough teenagers to know that if you just buy them everything they want, every little whim that comes along, you'll have a closet full of things they never accomplished. Amen? Come on, say amen. And so I said, look, if you're going to do this, I tell you what, you pray and you ask God to give you a guitar. And if God gives you a guitar, then we'll know you're supposed to learn to play the thing. Amen? And so he began to pray. And about 3 weeks later, this preacher calls me. He said, there's a package being delivered for your son. I said, oh, really? He said, don't tell him what it is. But he said, a fellow in our church for some reason walked in and said, God told me to send this to Alan, that he needs it. It's a guitar. Hello? Well, it wasn't new, amen. It was a used one, but I don't know what it was worth, but I just know this. In his life, that was a big thing that was trying to teach him something in comparison to the rest of his life. It's a small little blade that came up through the ground, amen. But now, see, God's working. because he had to take his faith and put it in a place where somebody greater than him had to accomplish that. And he knew not how it was going to work. Amen? Now he's grown to the point where there's bigger issues in his life than just getting a guitar to learn how to play. I tell everybody his verse for right now is, I've married a wife and I cannot come. Amen? It's like he can't do anything right now. You call him on the phone. How you doing? Fine. Amy's home. Talk to you later. You know, it's like, see ya. You know, it's nothing's important but that wife. Well, but he's got bigger problems now. He's got gas bills to pay and electric bills to pay and car payments and rent. And where did God learn him to trust him? In that small area. When that little shoot came up through the ground. Amen? And it grows. It grows. It grows. Amen? I look back when we were in Bible college, and we're thinking, man, if we just get to Bible college, we'd be all right. And I look back and think, I'd love to go back to Bible college and have the problems I had back there. Amen? Compared to now, amen. I'm headed to Milford, Ohio this week to pick up 4,000 New Testaments for the military soldiers. And I'm thinking, okay, how do we get there? How do we get this done? I'm thinking, I'm going to go back to Bible college and just wonder how I'm going to get up in the morning and pass Dr. Haggerty's test. Amen. But God was teaching us the small things to make our faith grow. Hello? And you know what part of our problem, read Mark chapter 4. Read this phrase again. I'll get to this and I'll try not to get stuck. He says, when you sow this seed, in verse 27, he said, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. Notice that little phrase, and sleep, and should sleep. How many people that are losing sleep night after night trying to figure out how God's going to do this? Amen. I wonder why in Christianity today, I was reading something yesterday. I'm working on something. I've got to teach a class on marriage here in a few weeks, and I was reading some things, and it said that the number one narcotic or the number one pill that Christians take today is nerve pills, sleeping pills. Well, they've never learned to sleep. To trust God. Amen. I was flying San Diego here a couple weeks ago and to go out to Camp Pendleton, and I got in that, I made my first and last trip with Southwest Airlines. I just can't stand it. That just drove me crazy the way they make you load that plane, because they got these seven or five silver little poles with numbers on them. You ever been on one, Southwest? It's crazy. I mean, every other airline I flew on, I get to pick my seat. I get to sit where I want to sit. Southwest, you show up, they give you this batch number, and it's between 1 and 50, and you stand in front of this pole that has your number on it, and you know, everybody lines up, and then you file onto the plane, and it's you get to see whatever's left, amen, and I'm thinking, here I am, I'm going to be stuck between, you know, some guy that's 400 pounds and some other fellow that's 300 pounds, and here I am in the middle, you know, but I got in this seat between these two fellows. And they were conversing back and forth, so evidently they knew each other. And so before the plane even took off, I just leaned back on the seat and went to sleep. And one guy nudged me, and he goes, aren't you going to wake up for the takeoff? I'm like, why? I've done this hundreds of times. I mean, it's not like it's something new here, buddy, you know. He said, aren't you worried? I said, no. Why should I be worried? If this thing goes down, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Hello? Then he was really concerned, you know. It's like, why are you not nervous, amen? He said, you not heard all the articles about it? I said, listen, buddy, I lived through one, amen. I can tell you the story about what I lived through. I said, I'm going to sleep. I got a lot of work to do when I get to San Diego. He could not understand how you could be so calm and relaxed. But that's most Christians I know of today. Well, preacher, food's going up. The price of gas is going up. The price, well, yeah, it is. Amen. I'm sorry. But God's still in control. And he said, trust me. Just go to bed. Get some sleep. Trust me. And that's how our faith grows. That's how our faith grows. Hey, listen, I'm trying to figure out how I was going to take care of all this material for this stuff and for these military guys. And a friend of mine called me. He said, Brother Morrison, he said, you just talked to us about it the other day. And I said, yeah. He said, this pastor I know said for you to call him this week. He's got some extra money he wants to invest in that thing. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm glad I didn't stay up all night worrying about it. Amen. And that's how our faith grows. Now watch me, I'm trying to tie this all together. And when our faith grows, now here's the key. Notice what he said in that verse. He said that mustard seed faith grows and it comes, goes from being this little seed to being, he said, this tree, this huge thing. And he said, so why? So the birds of the air, so something can come and lodge in that faith. You know what's so important? Your faith grows, brother. I took it by what you said that you work with the teenagers, amen? Well, right now those teenagers are lodging under your faith, amen? That's why your faith has got to be greater than their faith. Because they have to find a place to lodge. They have to find a place to hide a little bit from the world to let their faith grow. But one day their faith is going to grow and they'll come out from underneath that. But what if your faith is no greater than theirs? Where are they going to find that lodging place? That's why the pastor's faith has to be growing continuously, because you find a lodging place under his faith as you grow. But there's going to have to come a day when your faith is strong enough to stand on its own. Amen? How long have you been saved, brother? I'm sorry, too tough a question this early in the morning. 15 years. See, there ought to come a place in your life now that your faith has matured and grown. Hello? But our most Christians I run into today, they're still in that little blade of that came up through the ground. They're still worrying about what they're going, how they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. Amen? How God's going to take care of those situations. We're going to Brazil, and a pastor friend of ours and his wife are going with us, and he called me the other day, and he goes, Preacher, he said, you've got to pray. And I said, why? He said, they're going to operate on my mother-in-law. And you have to understand, his mother-in-law's had major heart surgery several times. He said, they're going to operate on my mother-in-law in just a few days. And he said, if something goes awry in that surgery, then we have to cancel the trip. We can't go. And I said, well, brother, you know, God knew beforehand. I mean, my wife and I went through that in February before we went to Africa, and her dad was in the hospital, had another heart procedure, and we're thinking, what's going to happen? And God worked it all out. And so God was testing his faith. I got news for you. He's got something greater to worry about today than the fact how he's going to feed his family. Are we going to make it through this situation? I talked to his wife coming up the road, and she's just like, you're not going to believe. I said, yeah, I believe it, amen. And she said, they operated on mom and on a Friday, and said they didn't even put her in intensive care. They put her in a regular room after they were done. They said they were worried she'd even come through the surgery. She came through the surgery so well, they let her out of the hospital on Saturday. She's home. And she said, they're going to let her start driving a car on Friday. And I'm laughing. And she's like, what are you laughing about? I said, you know, God's always in control, amen. In fact, they put her in a regular room on Friday night. You got to know Mrs. Hogle. She's such a sweetheart of a lady. I mean, she has more faith than any person I've been around in my life. I was preaching a faith promise conference for him one day, and the pastor said, you need to go talk to my mother-in-law. Look what she promised to give. And I went to her, and she said, Preacher, are you a liar? Are you a hypocrite, or did you tell me the truth? I said, I thought I told you the truth. She said, then that's what God told me to do. Leave me alone. I went to her son-in-law. I said, you deal with her, amen. I am not touching this lady, amen. And they put her in a room Friday night, a regular room, which they didn't even think she'd get through the surgery. And then she'd be in ICU. And she got through the surgery and went, didn't even go to ICU. Put her in a regular room. She led the night nurse to the Lord Friday night. Hello? We've got bigger problems coming. I won't say bigger problems, but bigger situations to face. And God said our faith has got to grow. Amen? But how does our faith grow? Simple little thought, and then I'm done. Faith, he said, then faith cometh by hearing, by the Word of God. Most Christians' faith is no greater than it was 10 years ago. You know why? Because their knowledge of God is no greater than it was 10 years ago. You say, is that simple? That is simple as I know to tell it to you. There's not some big magical formula of making your faith grow. Your faith grows. The more you know about God, and the more you know about His Word, the greater your faith will be. Amen? How did I get that faith in the first place? Faith cometh by hearing, by hearing by the Word of God. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and that day He gave me that faith. And that faith now must grow. And how does it grow? Through that book right there. And most Christians I know in this day and age today, if you cut it to the bottom line, they don't know any more about God today than they did 15 years ago when they got saved. And they wonder why their faith is so minute that God said it's like a mustard seed. Well, think about it. His disciples didn't learn. Every time he'd say, "Well, what?" He said, "Why couldn't we cast a demon out of this guy?" He goes, "Oh, ye of little faith. If you just had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed." Huh? When he was going to feed the multitude, he turned and said, "Give them something to eat." They said, "But Lord, we have five loaves and two fishes. What's that among all this multitude?" He said, and the Bible says this he did to prove them. So he already knew what he was going to do. For he himself knew what he would do. He already knew he was trying to prove their faith. I mean, if they'd had the faith after they'd watched all the miracles that the Lord had done, they would have walked up and said, "Lord, here it is, feed them." But they, instead of saying that, they said, "But what's this among this multitude?" No faith. And we're facing the same age-old problem in our life today, trust in God. I look back in my life. I got to meet Lester Roloff. My first years of my Christian life. I mean, I came up here to go to school, and the first year we were in school, Lester Roloff shows up to preach. Man. And I'm thinking, what a man of faith. Amen? But God said, "I didn't give him any more than I gave you." He just grew closer to me. Hello? And I did more with his faith because he walked closer with me. See, we want to make the Christian life complicated. And we go. I went all through that just to make that one statement. We want to make the Christian life complicated. Well, what's the... I look back and there's Miranda, and I've watched you grow up through the years. And I don't know what God has for you in your life. But I know this. If you'll just trust Him, He'll do it. But you ought to be closer to Him today than you were 10 years ago. You ought to know more about Him today than you did 10 years ago. And what you trusted God for 10 years ago was just a little shoot that came through the ground. Now the test gets bigger. And the accomplishments get bigger because God says, "I got greater things for you to do." But God said, "I'm a great God." Amen. The God that took Matt and Adrian to the Congo and is taking care of him could do whatever he wants in your life. The key's not God. The key's me. Hello? God can do it. I'm just giving my heart some more and teaching something. God can do it. But it depends on whether I get close enough to Him to believe He can do it. Amen? God's not, His arm's not short that He cannot reach. His ear's not deaf that He cannot hear. Amen? God's not lost any ability. He's not lost any power. He's not lost any of His glory. He's still the same God that provided for every Christian and every person through the lion's den, through the testings, through the trials on the mission fields, built the great ministries of days gone by. You know, I travel around and all hear about it. Well, the way things used to be in the 70s, the way things used to be in the early 80s. Hey, folks, God's still the same God. Amen. The difference is us. That's the difference. And I wonder what God could do if we just draw closer and closer and closer to Him. What God can do in our lives. Well, let's pray together and we'll get ready for the morning service. Father, thank you for this good day, opportunity to be together. Pray you bless our time together today in Jesus' name.